Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. My guest this morning is Grace Gard. She is the resident expert with the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission on kayaking. Good morning, Grace. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Anyway, sound just went out on you. I'm not hearing you, Grace, but Tanner's working on it.
Okay. How about now?
There, we got it. Great.
Okay.
Well, we're having all kinds of stuff this morning. We were talking off air there. Were you able to hear the National Weather Service alert?
I couldn't hear it, no.
Okay. Tanner didn't think it came directly through the board. It just takes over when that happens. So now we know.
Yes.
So thanks for hanging on. First question I got for you is, how popular is kayaking these days in Nebraska?
Yeah, so kayaking has definitely exploded in popularity over probably the last 10 years especially, but even more so now. They've just become more accessible to people, and so it's pretty common everywhere you look now on lakes in Nebraska, you can see a kayak. So
that's true. And what do you think was the impetus for all that? Why did it happen all of a sudden?
I think I have canoed a lot, and I fondly sometimes call it a divorce boat because you have to be a very good team player with the person you're canoeing with. And so I think sometimes the kayak can be really nice for people to do. It's more of like an individual activity. You can be in control of where you want to go. You can explore a little more easily. I still love canoes, but I think kayaks are a little bit easier for a lot more people to use.
I do believe they're easier, and particularly when going upstream. It's amazing how easily you can turn a kayak and get back up and look at something again if you need to.
Yes, definitely.
I'm going to have to make a note here. I've never heard a canoe referred to as a divorce boat.
Very fondly, I mean.
I'm like you. I have spent thousands of hours in a canoe and sojourning and camping along the way, stuff like that. That's a big hobby of mine. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're talking with a local buddy here right now, and we're planning a trip later this fall.
They're excellent for traveling longer distances and some of those different types of excursions. So,
except when you have to get out and portage and unload everything and get around.
Yes, they can be heavier. Yeah, so there's a lot of maneuverability and weight and all those things can be a lot easier with a kayak.
When I lived on the eastern side of the state years ago, I had a 18-foot cargo canoe with a square stern on it and a little 5-horse outboard. And I could put in at Brownville, and I could run up above Omaha in a day and then float back and just have a ball. But anyway, we got to get back to kayaking. What got you into kayaking?
So I actually worked right out of college as a naturalist at Ponca State Park up in the Northeast.
Oh, pretty country.
Very pretty up there. You know, we got the scenic Missouri River sections. And so they actually did a training for us. That was a really great training, I think, by the National Park Service, so that I could lead kayak programs at the park. And I remember coming home from that training and telling my now husband, like, I need to buy a kayak now.
Well, it's for work. Yes, of course. It's mandatory. I have one.
I know, right? So I not only loved it for work, but I definitely fell in love with it personally. So that was kind of my start. And that was around 2014. So
you've been kayaking since roughly 2014. Okay.
Yep.
What attracted you to kayaks and to the sport of doing that?
I think it's just such a good balance of, there's excitement because it's maybe a little challenging depending on what kind of water you're on. But it's also, you can get such good moments of peacefulness when you're on water, that's just perfectly still and flat. It's kind of magical to be on that. And then it's also, in addition to that, a great vantage point for just seeing all kinds of wildlife and really amazing sunrises and sunsets. So I think it helps make time move a little more slowly when you're on the water like that. So I really love kayaking for that reason.
I often have people ask me which is easier, kayaking or canoeing, and I tell them kayaking. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons, I think, is because up in a canoe, you can still have that tippy feeling. But in a kayak, if you're in a sit-in kayak, your center of gravity is actually below the waterline, so it's a more stable mm-hmm. craft.
Yeah, definitely. Just the it's so easy to feel really comfortable in them, I agree.
Now, from a basic safety standpoint, what do you need to do kayaking in Nebraska and, of course, be legal about it?
Right. So any type of vessel, whether it has a motor or not, but including kayaks, it must have a Coast Guard approved life vest on board. And if you're 13 or under, you have to be wearing that life vest, although I would recommend everyone wears it because you just never know what could happen.
Right.
So you got the life vest, and then you also need to have a signaling device, which is usually a whistle. You know, just in case something were to happen, it's important to have that with you. And then the last thing is a white light that can be viewed, especially during dawn and dusk. So if you're out on the water as it's getting dark, that's a really important thing to have with you.
Very good. I've often, you know, when I tell people, you know, kayaking, and you covered that with the white light, dawn and dusk. I have a little solar light I carry with me for both. And that way I don't have to worry about it being out, you know.
Yeah, because sometimes you're not using a boat like that every day. And so it is definitely nicer if it's just like charging itself.
Right. Kayaking is just one of those things I think that once you try it, it's like the old Lay's potato chip commercial. You can't do just one.
Yep.
What suggestions or recommendations do you have for gear and equipment if somebody is new to the sport and looking to get into it? What should they think about?
Yeah, so I think it's important to think about what kind of kayaking we want to do. Like if you want to be more relaxed or if you want to use it for trips, I think that would determine what kind of kayak you get, which I know we're going to talk about here in a few minutes. But
right.
Definitely having a comfortable life vest. So they make more life vests now that are really kayak specific. So they're a little shorter on the back and they have nice open arm like space so that you can rotate your arms easily. So a comfortable life vest is one that I would say. I also have a dry bag with a like clear window in it. And I think that that's actually really nice because you can see in it without having to open it in case you want to grab something real quick.
Good idea.
Because, yeah, people, you know, I always bring my phone with me on the kayak. And so I do get it out here and there to take photos. And so it's nice to have a good dry bag or something that can protect your valuable things. I know they make things that float. It's always the best. You never want to regret. So it's always best to have something that's going to float and keep your stuff dry.
I just found not too long ago, found a little case that's just designed for cell phones. And I have an iPhone and I have the rugged case on it, you know, to survive a fall. And it'll fit inside this thing. And it's watertight and it will float. And that'll be on my Christmas wish list column later this year because I think that's a good one.
Yeah, it definitely is. Just because I know even someone who recently they had their phone in a thing like that, but it didn't have a floaty on it, so it unfortunately was lost. So
yes,
always good to have that.
Back in the day, I was up at Halsey helping one time with BOW and helping with the kayaking group.
Mm-hmm.
And I had two cell phones, and we still had pagers at the time.
Yes.
And I thought, okay, I'm just going to go out on this little pond, watch people paddle around. I'm not going to roll. Well, I got hit from a couple people.
That'll do it.
And I crawled out, you know, on the bank and then listened to each phone and the pager fry as it went out of service.
Oh, no.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you do need
something waterproof.
Yeah, you never know. And then the only other thing I was going to say is a great system for transporting your kayaks. Like, I have several J-hooks. They're the things that go on top of your car, your kayak can attach to. And I have ones that can collapse down, but recently those, unfortunately, in strong winds were like collapsing down while I was driving. So sometimes it's nice to have just like the rigid metal J-hooks, because then they won't be doing that while you're driving. So that's always very stressful.
Now, a question, and this comes from a background of canoeing. Is there any difference when you're looking for a kayak? What should you look for in the design if it's you're just planning ponds and lakes versus rivers? Is there anything? I know with a canoe, you want that hull, the rib down the center of the hull, the keel, to be deeper if you're on river type stuff, you know, so you are on lakes so you can control it better. Anything like that with a kayak?
Yeah, I would say so. So usually it's nice, like if you want to use your kayak for more just like hanging out and relaxing on the lake, it's maybe less important that it tracks super straight. So it could be a little bit of a shorter kayak. It could be a little, it depends on what you want and how much money you want to put into it too. But usually that kind of looks like a sit on top kayak. So it's comfortable. You can shift around how you're sitting a lot more versus maybe this type of kayak that's a sit-in kayak is usually comfortable as well, but just in different ways. Sometimes those are a little more designed for speed and have more ports for like storage if you are going to maybe travel with it.
Now, you just gave me a great segue into my next question. You mentioned sit-in and sit-on-top kayaks. What's the difference and why?
Yeah, so a sit-on-top kayak is a little more just like basic sometimes. So it's flat mostly, and it doesn't have sides around it, obviously. So you're sitting literally on top of kind of a flat floating base. And usually those do not have like foot pegs for your feet. They have kind of little built-in, I don't know what to call them, but like steps for
little
your feet.
Notches.
So you can, notches so you can adjust your feet however you want, you know, so you could have your legs out straight. You could sit a little up more. So that's kind of sit on tops. And then a sit in is where you are sitting, like you said earlier, at the level of the water more. And the upper edges of the kayak maybe come around as high as your knees do if you're slightly bent in the knee. And they have foot pegs. Sometimes the sit-in kayak also has knee braces. My personal kayak has that. It's kind of nice because you realize how much you're bracing with those spots when you're paddling for strength and stuff.
I tell people the sit-in is the traditional kayak that pops into your mind's eye when you think about it. And it can be equipped with a spray skirt if you want.
Right.
And keep more water out. There, have you learned how to do your Eskimo roll?
Oh, man, I can't, like, do the full underneath, no. But when I trained, I did roll over with the spray skirt on and had to be able to take it off. And so that was exciting for sure.
once you can figure out how that works, it's not too bad. But the first few times, it's a little spooky.
Yeah, it really is. And that's why it's nice to have a kayak that also, like, is fitted to you. So, you know, the taller or heavier you are, usually you want a slightly longer kayak versus shorter. It's okay to have a shorter kayak. So when they fit you well, it's really easy to be more comfortable probably with rolling and stuff.
Another great segue into my next question.
Yes.
How long should a kayak be for a beginner? And is there a rule of thumb like there is with cross-country skis? They should be this long if you're so tall and weigh so much. Is there any rules of thumb like that?
I'm less aware of like a easy tip or rule like that, but yeah, I think, you know, if you are like over 5 feet tall, then you probably want a kayak that, if you want it to be really stable and kind of track straight, it's better to have a kayak that's at least like 10 feet long. Obviously for beginners, that which might be younger kids, you know, an 8-foot kayak is usually really good for them because they're still pretty small and a little shorter and lighter, you know. So it just kind of depends on those factors, I think.
Okay. My sit-in kayak is a shorter one because I wanted to be able to just spin on a dime and go look at things. And then my fishing kayak is the sit-on top. And that's, you know, I got rod holders and all that kind of stuff and places to bungee things down. So I got my lunch with me or whatever.
Yeah.
but, yeah, it does. I guess my best recommendation I have for people that are thinking about it is try to find somebody else that has a kayak and see if you can try it out. And that leads me into another question about what type of programs does the Game and Parks have for letting people experience that or do a little training with kayaks?
Yeah, so we have kind of a few different options. More recently, we have been doing, depending on where you're located, but in parks throughout the state, they do actually lead some of the programs, like maybe in a backwaters area or on a lake, someone will teach you. But other times, some of those spots are actually like where you can just rent a kayak, and it's kind of a free-for-all, but there might not be a lot of training involved. So it kind of depends what you're looking for. But even like we actually just did it this last week. We had a statewide kayak cleanup, and that was not just like a cleanup of the environment, but we started the program with, you know, teaching people who were less experienced how to kayak too. So we have definitely some opportunities, and you can see more of those at our website on for Nebraska Game of Parks, outdoornebraska.gov.
Julie Geiser hosted that one out here last Tuesday, I think it was, and had asked me if I would be available. And unfortunately, I was out of town for that one, but that was great. And she said they had almost 30 people that participated, so she had a good turnout there.
Yeah. She was sharing some pictures, and it looked like it was an awesome time. So it's a really fun way, you know, to just spend time outside and meet other people that are interested in things you are, and also make the space better for everyone that uses those outdoor spaces. So,
have you ever done any kayak camping?
That is honestly one thing that is still kind of on my list. I
gotta have a bucket list. You know, gotta have a bucket list.
Yes. Yeah, I know. Even just something overnight. I guess actually I have done it once. I just remembered. I went down to Arkansas on the Buffalo River.
Oh, wow.
Which is an awesome place. If no one has ever been there, I highly recommend it. But we were able to, you know, use kayaks from an outfitter down there, and there was a nice like camping spot in the middle, and we had previously dropped all our stuff off there. So it was kind of a nice like low level kayak camping experience, but I haven't done multi-day things yet, which I would love to do.
Well, you always get with Julie, come out here, and then we can go down we've got a canal system out here that's just magnificent for doing that. And other than a few checks you have to portage around, it's a pretty easy float. And I've actually gone the canal system. I've gone from North Platte almost all the way to Kearney on the canals. And that's there's some places you can get back in there and you don't think you're in Nebraska anymore.
I know. And that's like one of the coolest things about kayaking too. You can get back to these spots that just make you feel, even, you know, around Omaha, there's a spot like that too, where you don't feel like you're in the middle of the city, and it's so great.
Very good. Very good. Well, I sure appreciate you taking the time with us this morning. It looks like we have a little less than 2 minutes to do. So what do you have to finish up with? What do you want people to know about kayaks that makes them want to run out and buy one?
Yeah, I think it's just if you're interested, like you had mentioned, Rick, if you know of somewhere that has a couple different kinds. I know even sometimes places like Shields or outdoor stores will have days where you can come try out different types. But I think the nice thing about kayaking is also that it's gotten a lot less expensive than it used to be when it was really, really new. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's good to invest a little bit, but you don't have to invest a lot to be able to enjoy this activity. So it's definitely a worthwhile investment. And I would encourage people to try it out because it's a great way to spend time outside.
And it's a great upper body workout too.
Yes, get the core moving.
Very good. Grace, thank you very much for taking the time to be on the show with me this morning, and look forward to meeting you someday.
Yeah, that sounds great. Thank you so much for having me.
That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.